Time for your favorite show. The Weekend Report is on the radio.
It is hour number two of the Weekend Report on your radio, and we appreciate you listening. My name is Tony Colombo, in studio, of course, with my co-host Chris Arps. Producer Ryan Wiggins is here as well. Had a great first hour there. If you missed any of it, go back and check it out. Download our podcast. You can go to our website, of course, 971talk.com, or download the radio.com app. Absolutely free. If you don't have the radio.com app, I don't know what you're waiting for, because it is the perfect way to keep up not only with this show, but also all the shows happening here on the station. Of course, you can stream the station live on the radio.com app, and you can download all the podcasts of all the shows with a click of the button. It's so easy, so convenient, really nice to have. So if you missed the interview with Tim Lowry, who is the Florissant police chief who's running for mayor, we talked a lot about him, with him, about city-county merger and what his plans for Florissant are if he is able to win that mayor election happening on Tuesday. Great stuff from Tim Lowry. You can get that on the podcast on the radio.com app and break down that whole first hour. But second hour, we got a whole lot coming up for you. The Weird News Challenge is back this week. Skip Weber from Weber Chevrolet will be joining us a little bit later on in the hour. And as I mentioned at the end of last hour, right now we are joined on the phone by Jarrett Hill. He is with Channel Q. Speaking of radio.com, Channel Q is something that you can get on radio.com. It is a radio station, a radio format offered by our company here, Entercom, on in several cities across the country. And if you're in a city that doesn't have it, you can always get it at radio.com. Jared, thank you so much for your time today. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks so much for having me and shouting us out from Channel Q.
Yeah, you bet. You know what? Give a little quick background on what Channel Q is, because like I said, it is not something that we have on the radio here in St. Louis. So
not yet.
Not yet. Yeah, there you go. Not yet. But people can still access it on the radio.com app. So talk about what the whole Channel Q project and movement is.
Yeah, so Channel Q is a new innovative media destination that's really built for and by the LGBTQ plus community and our allies. We really strive to offer like exceptional programming that will really entertain and inform and inspire our listeners, giving everyone a seat at the table, a voice to be able to come out and speak. So if you want to check out Channel Q, you can go to wearechannelq.com is the easiest way to find us. If you're on the radio.com app, you can check out, you can type in We Are Channel Q and we'll come up and you can favorite us and tune into our shows. We've got shows that run all day long that range from pop culture to politics. The very popular show Loveline is now a part of Channel Q. That's back on the air. So we've got a lot of things to offer.
Very good. And as I mentioned at the end of last hour, the reason that we wanted to have Jarrett from Channel Q join us today is because Channel Q has done a lot of coverage of the Jussie Smollett situation. Of course, Jussie was, before this madness, was somebody that was more known for his role in advancing LGBTQ, the information and, you know, fighting against prejudice and all that. And then now he's known for something very, very different. Can you just give your basic understanding of the Jussie Smollett case, what you know about Jussie, you know, personally or just or professionally, Jarrett, and then also kind of where you stand on, as being somebody who has covered this and watched this so closely, on anything that you think may be right or wrong about the general coverage that the Jussie Smollett situation has received?
Well, it's a story that the more you listen to information, the more confusing it gets, if I'm just being wholly honest with you. Back on January 29th, Jussie was allegedly out in the middle of the night, going out to grab food, and was allegedly attacked by two men who were, you know, shouting racial slurs, political terminology, and allegedly poured bleach on him, put a noose around his neck, yelled out, "This is MAGA country." And that kind of is what sparked, was the impetus to this. We then learned that a few days prior, there had been a piece of mail that had come to the Fox studios where they film Empire, with MAGA written on the front of the cover, with magazine letters cut out, kind of saying that they were going to kill this black F word. So black F word being the derogatory term for gay people. Yeah. So everything kind of exploded from there. And then within, you know, weeks, there was like speculation about whether or not this case, this story actually happened the way that they said that it did. And then eventually police came out, the prosecutors from Cook County State Attorney came out with charges saying that he had filed false claims against the police department, to the police department, saying that this didn't actually happen, that this was a hoax. And then just this week, all of those charges from the prosecutor's office were dropped.
Yeah.
All of those charges, the prosecutors came out and said that they reconsidered everything and that they were dropping the charges. Immediately following that, the police superintendent came out saying that he thought this was, you know, atrocious, that he thought it was ridiculous that these charges were being dropped and that he felt like the city of Chicago was owed an apology. Rahm Emanuel came out, the mayor of Chicago came out saying that he saw this as a whitewash of justice, mm-hmm. which definitely kind of made the hairs on the back of my neck stand up. And then Jussie Smollett came out and said, you know, he stands by his claims that all of these things happened the way that he said they did, and that he, you know, had been honest about this all along and that he was grateful that it had turned out the way that it had. And the most recent part of it is the city of the police department in Chicago is now trying to bill Jussie for $130,000, saying that his claims were fake. The president of the United States is saying that the FBI and the DOJ will be investigating the case. And that's kind of where it sits right now.
So, Jared, in your coverage of this case, do you feel like whose story do you feel is more accurate? The police department, the one that we've heard about the brothers that worked with Jussie on Empire, were actually paid by Jussie, and this was all a staged hoax to get him either a bigger name in the limelight or more money on Empire or whatever selfish reasons that we've heard given? Or do you, from what you have watched and learned about the case, do you think that he's telling the truth?
So there's so many twists and turns in this case. I think the first big thing that came up that kind of made us question, that made people question, I should say, not just myself, but was this check, this $3,500 check that was written to the two people who were allegedly the attackers that the police identified. To be clear, Jussie has never said that those were the people that attacked him, but just want to be clear about that. But they came out saying that he had written them a check for $3,500 and that that was to pay for this alleged attack. It then later came out that this $3,500 check was to the two of them because they were his personal trainers and had been, and that the memo line, I believe, said for nutrition for, you know, 5 weeks or something like that. So it's a difficult case. I just, you know, full disclosure, I'm a black gay man mm-hmm. here in Los Angeles. I know Jussie. We're not close. We're not like best friends or anything like that, but we know each other socially. I was actually with Jussie a few weeks prior to this at an awards event. And so I am inclined to believe Jussie because I don't know him to have done anything like this prior or to even have like tendencies like this. He's always been a very kind, open, caring person. Especially if it's going to be Jussie Smollett versus the Chicago Police Department, which is shrouded in all kinds of scandals and the ways that they handle cases with black people. So if it's Jussie or the Chicago Police Department, I'm going to have a hard time siding with the Chicago Police Department. To be honest with you, it is difficult because there is so much that has come out and been asserted or leaked from the police department or leaked from the prosecutor's office or also said by Jussie's legal team. It's difficult to know what to believe anymore. And this happening from the prosecutor's office made it even more difficult.
Chris, go ahead.
No, Jared, Chris Arps. You know, I've done radio interviews on this case all around the country for an organization that I belong to called Project 21. And one thing that I've noticed, which has been kind of unusual in this climate of division that we have, that it's been, in my experience, across the board, whether it's black, white, conservative, liberal, the LGBT community, the straight community, that most people don't believe Jussie's story, especially with all of the evidence that has come out showing these gentlemen buying the mugging supplies, no evidence from the cameras. people are backtracking on their stories in Chicago. The people that were connected to the Obamas that probably helped get him off on this case. Where I'm going with this is there's been controversy that Jussie is up for an NAACP Image Award this weekend still. With all this controversy surrounding his truthfulness, do you think it's good for the LGBT community or the African-American community to give him an Image Award with all this cloud surrounding him?
I think the NAACP Image Award situation, just for clarity for people that don't know, the Image Awards came out with his nomination. It was only like 2 weeks or so after this initial story broke, and the Image Awards will be hosted tomorrow night here in Los Angeles.
But shouldn't they be rescinded? I mean, just because it came out before, should they rescind that?
I think if he had gone to trial and been found guilty, I could see that being a case that they could make. But, I mean, realistically, his charges were dropped. So, I mean, whether or not we believe this thing happened or not, like, from a legal perspective, like, he's not on the hook for this anymore. And so I think that the idea that they would take away his nomination over something that his charges were dropped on, I don't see how that would be a reasonable expectation of the Image Award, especially in this situation where there's been this whole back and forth with the Chicago Police Department and then the prosecutors coming back and dropping his charges. If they had kept the charges and, you know, he was set to stand trial, I could see more of an argument for that.
But isn't he still kind of on the hook if he's forfeiting this $10,000 bail and the Chicago Police Department is sending him a bill for $130,000 for an investigation that they say turned out to be a hoax?
The Chicago Police Department's job is to investigate, but not to try a crime. He's never gone to trial for this. So again, like the police department, I don't even really think they have any kind of standing in this case to be able to send him a bill and expect him to pay for it. The job of the police department is to make arrests and do an investigation and make arrests. It's not to try crimes or to say who's guilty, who's innocent. So the idea that they're sending him a bill is really just kind of bizarre to me. So I don't see how that would be a reasonable expectation. That the NAACP Image Award, something that comes from the NAACP, which has had a lot to say about the Chicago Police Department in past years, most notably like Laquan McDonald and the handling of that case, I don't see the NAACP doing that.
Jared, we're talking to Jared Hill from Channel Q. Jared, one of my biggest questions is the reaction in the LGBTQ community from this standpoint. I am a big proponent of if you do a hoax, you should get the same punishment as someone who actually did that crime. So if you rape a woman, whatever punishment comes along with that, if you are somebody who lies about being raped, then you should have the same punishment as the rapist. Because I feel like what is the most damage you can do to a cause is false accusations. On the outside, I feel like I would be outraged if I was a gay person and I found out that this was all a hoax, or at least there's so much evidence that makes it look like it's a hoax, that I would feel like it's setting back the cause. I would feel like it's making us look bad, and I would be furious about that. Is there any of that in the LGBT community as far as you're concerned and the people that you have talked with? Or is, by and large, people sort of on the fence and or more on Jussie's side in this situation?
I think it depends on who you ask, to be honest with you. And I think this also kind of falls along racial lines as well. I think more Black gay people are inclined to believe Jussie than white gay people are or non-Black people are. I think that's the unfortunate truth about the situation. But I think what is important to remember, even if we're talking about like the criminality of a hoax, right? Like, that would still be true. That I would be able to stand behind that a little bit more if he had gone to trial and was convicted of these crimes, right? So, like, again, because these charges were dropped by the prosecutors, it wasn't like he had a plea deal and said, like, okay, I did this and I want a lesser sentence, or, you know, they tried him and found him guilty or something like that. The prosecutors in this case are the ones who came back and said, we're going to drop these charges. So the idea that he still on the hook for this or is still in question. I mean, public opinion is always going to kind of raise questions, right? But like, realistically, from a legal perspective, this has been dropped.
Yeah,
Jared, you are right that the charges have been dropped, but you're totally overlooking the circumstances surrounding the charges being dropped, with the influence of Barack Obama's wife's chief of staff, the district attorneys saying this is completely unusual for something to be dropped like this. I mean, this is not something where it's overwhelming evidence that he didn't do it and the cases were dropped. Let's move on.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so much evidence. There's so much evidence that this is a hoax. There's so much evidence that somebody stepped in and gave him a special privilege.
Jared, before you answer, because we're almost out of time. Before you answer that, because we're almost out of time, are you upset or you know, the people that you work with and talk to in that community, are you upset that it's been sealed and that we don't get to see? Do you want to know what's happened? Because that's the most frustrating thing, I think, to a large part of the country that has been following this story, is that it's all sealed. We were given all of this information by the Chicago Police Department and all these other places that, and you know, we have all this, what we think is evidence, and now all of a sudden it's just being all closed off and sealed against us. Don't you think it would do everybody better, including Jussie, if he's telling the truth, that all of these details be made public? Go ahead.
I absolutely agree that the sealing of the case makes it even more frustrating. As I said before, I don't know what to believe anymore. If I have to choose a side, which I don't like having to do, but if I have to choose a side, I'm going to lean toward Jussie on this one. But I don't know what to believe. And the idea that the police department has gathered all this evidence and the prosecutors did as well, but like, it would be great to have all that evidence presented, but it'd also be great to be able to have the other side, of the side that comes from Jussie and his team, to be able to say, this is our side of the argument. We haven't really heard a lot of the other side of the argument. We've heard an incredibly detailed description of what happened from the prosecutor's point of view. So I wish we could have the access to that information, but I don't expect that to happen anytime soon.
Jared Hill from Channel Q. Again, you can get Channel Q on the radio.com app. Could be coming to the radio here in St. Louis, as Jared said at the very beginning. They're in many states and cities across the country already. Could be getting one here in St. Louis. If not, you can follow them on the radio.com app and the radio.com website. Jared, thank you so much for your time and insight on this matter today.
Thanks for having me, you guys.
You bet. All right, got to take a break. Got more Weekend Report coming up and more reaction from Chris Arps from that interview.
Chris Arps is not happy.
He's walking it off. He's up. He's walking. I've never seen a more disgusted look on his face. All right, we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it next. Don't go anywhere. It's the Weekend Report on FM News Talk 97.1. If you lose me, okay. All right. Welcome back to the Weekend Report. It's FM News Talk 97.1. I'm glad to see you. I'm glad to see your smile is back.
Hey, I've got reggae music playing and Skip's in the studio, so it's all good.
That music should tell you.
Yes, that exactly. Skip Weber is back. He is in the studio, and you have no idea what you just missed. Yeah.
I kind of do.
I have never seen Chris Arps. He stood up and said, "I got to walk it off."
Was the interview over yet?
No.
Okay. No,
he
you
was
were walking.
Out
you were
of
pacing.
His seat before the interview was even over. So if you didn't hear it, we just talked to Jared Hill from Channel Q. We talked to him about Jussie Smollett. Jared knows Jussie. Kind of socially.
Yeah.
He's an acquaintance of Jussie.
They run in the same circles.
He has very much covered for Channel Q the Jussie Smollett situation, and he's the first person that I've talked to
totally
who is a reporter that, yeah, he wouldn't go all the way to say that he totally believes him, but he put more of the reason for the controversy on the Chicago police. Yeah. Than he did.
Which is a false choice to me.
So, go ahead.
Now, have you discussed, and you may have, I don't know, maybe you talked about it on Glover too, but have you discussed the genius of the bill that Rahm Emanuel sent to Jussie?
No, I don't think so. We didn't discuss the genius. Mm. We did discuss the bill, yeah. But yeah.
Because if he doesn't pay it, they can sue him now.
I didn't realize that.
And when you're in civil court, yeah. It would be just like the Goldman family suing OJ.
Jared called the bill ridiculous.
Yeah. Right.
He said that it was a joke.
But because there's a bill.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you go to civil court. Now, right. They can still present all the evidence. They don't need the prosecutor to be there. Somebody can take the city of Chicago side
right.
and present the evidence as to why he wasted the time. And that can all still come out. And he won't be found guilty and go to prison.
But
he can be found guilty. He can be fined civilly.
Yeah.
Just like the Goldman family sued OJ.
Right.
And he was found guilty because he didn't have to do it without the beyond a shadow of doubt in front of a jury, blah, blah, blah. They still present the evidence, and that's what's genius about it.
Mm-hmm.
I know they don't expect him to pay it.
Right.
As soon as he doesn't, they'll sue him.
They can have a civil case.
And now the case still gets tried.
And the federal do you think there'll be a federal case brought against Jussie Smollett?
I definitely think there's going to be a federal case, and because the president announced it on Thursday that there would be. So yeah. I don't think there's any doubt.
Yeah. So that's I think he's in to sit there, look, getting off. The whatever you think of that. I mean, we've talked about, Tony, you and I have talked about it.
Yeah.
First offense.
Yeah.
People with clean records, first offense, usually do get off pretty lightly.
Yes. Yeah, I think
the
people would be surprised by that.
The whole mistake he's making is digging his heels in the ground and said, I did nothing. I told the truth. I was attacked.
Most people that get off for that first offense are very thankful
for
it.
Man, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
Here, this never happened again. I don't know what came over me.
They don't go out and spike the ball, to use Dave's terminology.
And this is going to be this civil case, whether federal comes up or not, he's going to be shown to be a liar.
And the thing that just upset me about this, look, you can have your opinion on the case, that's fine, but he was just acting like it was so cut and dry that Jussie didn't do it, and this was a travesty of justice, and his main argument was, well, the charges have been dropped. And finally, I just had to just interrupt him and said, the charges have been dropped, but look at the circumstances surrounding how they were dropped. How can you say that makes this legitimate in any way?
Yeah.
If you go back to the podcast and listen to that interview, you can hear the anger. You're almost shaking that whole
time. Seriously?
No, I'm not kidding. It's the first time I've ever
heard
your
anger right now.
There was a moment, Skip. So a little behind the scenes, inside baseball, when we're doing these interviews, we'll point at each other. And I'll ask a question, then I'll point at Chris, and I'll say, you want to go.
Yeah.
And, he very often is like, yeah, let's go. I pointed at him, and he swiped his hands at me. Like, I'm not talking to this guy anymore. I don't even know what to say to him anymore. And so I had to keep going.
It's so sad.
And then he got mad and jumped back in. Yeah.
I had to, because he just continued with the nonsense. I was like, I can't just let this go.
It is not. And I think my point, I had a hard time getting the question out, but I would have imagined that people in that community would be angry at Jussie Smollett for setting back the cause.
It's exactly what Charles Barkley said. Charles Barkley went on one of the talk shows, and I mean, I think Charles Barkley is great. I don't always agree with him, but he's funny, and he's always himself.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been a fan of his since he was a basketball player at Auburn before he was even a pro.
Yeah, yeah.
But he even said, "Look, there's no winners in this." There's no winners. The African American community, the police, the LGBT
community.
Mm-hmm. You forgot the T.
He said T.
He forgot the Q. Yeah, Q.
Yeah.
Confused.
They all should be angry at this whole thing, and are. They all have lost something out of this.
Mm-hmm.
There's no winners, and that's he's absolutely right. He's absolutely, and it's a good thing that somebody says that because. A lot of people are afraid to.
Yeah, yeah. So, go ahead.
No, and I was saying the response that I've seen on the internet, and I've done interviews around the country, different radio stations on this, it doesn't matter to them that he's black or gay or whatever his sexuality is. People are upset regardless. They're not saying that he got off because he's black or he's gay. People are saying this was privilege. This was wealth
that's
and power.
That's exactly
and
right.
It's universal.
And it's a pile-on to being upset when he then, like Tony put it, spikes the ball.
Mm-hmm. All right. Skip is back. That means the Weird News Challenge is back. we're going to play it in the next segment because we don't have time to play the game in this segment. So before we end this segment, it's been a while since we've talked to you. What's happening at Weber Chevrolet?
Boy, oh boy. I mean, the month of March has been unbelievable. Just unbelievable. It's usually one of our best months. And I think I explained this before. This is the first time every year where the new models finally get their fair share of incentive money from Detroit. You know, we've had new Equinoxes on the ground since August.
Right.
2019.
Yeah.
And finally have decent rebates because, you know, they're still selling on the 18s. We've had new Silverados for a long time.
I was going to ask about those.
Still have lots of 18s because they built them so long, but finally have decent rebates. And we've been selling them. We've been taking ARG discounts and, you know, taking them down. And you know, if you're leasing the vehicle, as soon as a new model comes out is the best time to lease because that's when the residual's highest and all that. So it's not like you made a – if you bought a 2019 Equinox in November, you made a bad mistake. But – because you'd have been driving it for 3 months already. But this was the highest incentives on the 2019 product. And on top of that, I think I told you guys about the little tool I have with my pre-owned vehicles, how I can take my pre-owned vehicles, plug them all in, and then the program will tell me where I stand on each unit with its competition and that same brand all over the city. 500-mile radius, 600-mile radius, whatever I ask it to do. And that ever since we've been using that and telling people, because we used to always say we're the best price, and we do our best everywhere we could, you know, look like human beings would do to get the best price. It's almost impossible, but we try. It would be our intention. Now we really are. You got a 2014 Malibu, and there's seven of them in St. Louis. Also, ours will be the best price.
Yeah.
Now, maybe mine might be a few hundred dollars more. But the reason will be mine's got a sunroof and leather, and none of the other ones do. Mine's 20,000 miles less, none of the other ones are. That's the kind of stuff that makes her, because that tool even says, here's the value of those things. So we're still the best value on every vehicle. Ever since we started doing that, our pre-owned numbers have gotten bigger every month. Whereas I told you last month, record pre-owned month, we've already blown way past that.
And I'm sure way this weather. That. That it's now it's finally turned around. People are getting back outside.
Yep.
I was so happy to drive to work the other day with my window down.
Yes, absolutely.
It just changes everything. I love driving my truck when I can, you know, when it's not a, you don't have to warm it up before you get in it.
And you're not
freezing for a while.
You
enjoy being in the car.
Leaning over, looking out of the little space that's only put space that's defrosted on the windshield.
Exactly.
Yeah. So no, but with the online shopping, it doesn't really kill our business,
right?
And doesn't really make it that much better. But no, you're right. The weather is still nice.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I just love it.
So
I
with
love
all that being
changes
said,
it.
With all that being said, very very quickly, you would think that we just ended our month being Saturday. But way we always do it, because Chevrolet models it and we follow them, is when the month ends on a weekend, Monday is included.
Right.
So everything we've done, I've told you about, has been so great, still included on Monday. You got one more day in March.
There you go.
And we get to drive our Weber Chevrolet Black Camaro now that the weather's getting good.
That's exactly right. All right, we need to take a break, but we are going to play the Weird News Challenge. It's been a few weeks. It is back, and we have another special game.
Mm-hmm.
Another special game
good.
That's never been played before. Another version of it that we've
What's
never
the occasion?
Done before. I'll tell you in a second.
All right.
Think hard, and you might be able to figure it out.
Baseball?
No.
Basketball?
Ooh, that's a good one, though.
Basketball?
Find out next. Weekend Report. Don't go anywhere.
You lose your day.
Black Corvette. Oh, that was
you lose.
Welcome back to the Weekend Report, FM News Talk 97.1. We have had a packed show today. If you missed any of it, the interview with Jarrett Hill from Channel Q about Jussie Smollett that made Chris Arps almost walk out of the room. Tim Lowry in the first hour talking about his election. He's running for mayor of Florissant. That election happens on Tuesday. Of course, Tim is the current chief of police up there in my hometown. I'm going to be hosting a Get Out the Vote rally tomorrow in Florissant. Tweet me if you want information on that.
Hey, I was just in Florissant this week.
Hey, there you go.
I live so far away. I don't
biggest municipality in St. Louis County.
I was visiting the North County Technical School.
There you go. Love it.
Free speaking. Place.
Radio.com
app. We were talking about how we need more technical jobs out there, and so I need mechanics right and left. So
download the Radio.com app if you haven't already. It's absolutely free. You can podcast this show and all the other shows on the radio station. You can also stream the radio station right there on the app, and you won't miss any of the great stuff that we talked about. Our friend Kerry Braggs joined us in the first hour, YouTube host. So don't go back and check all that out if you missed any of it. Also, don't forget, throughout the week, we are now putting up videos on our YouTube player, 971talk.com/weekendreport. That's our webpage. We have a video player there. It's always got the most recent video on it. And you can just go to the 97.1 YouTube channel, click on the Week in Report playlist. We have been putting up videos throughout the week for you now. It's been a lot of fun to be able to bring content to you guys throughout the week, not just on Saturdays. And we are going to continue doing that from here on out. So keep on checking that stuff out. Go ahead.
So listen, I'm pissed. I'm very angry.
Because it's...
It's been a while since I've been in. It's been a while since I've been here.
I'll explain it.
You don't know what I'm angry about.
I know. You're angry about the topic.
No.
Oh,
not
okay.
At all.
All right. Good. No. Okay. Good.
I'm angry that I haven't been here in a while.
Yeah.
I love coming here and talk to you guys. And I come in here and we waste the entire segment still talking about Jussie Smollett.
I know. I'm telling you.
And
this guy's cage was rattled.
I know.
Chris's cage was rattled.
There's so many other things. How many other things have we missed and not talked about and neat things out there and funny things out there? And we're still talking about this stupid story that didn't ever need to happen.
So,
come on.
As I have mentioned to you guys
before,
watch
TMZ,
there's lots of stuff on TMZ we could have talked about that was still more.
I like to write these weird news challenge if we can do it around a holiday or a big event. I like to write the questions in that vein in order to mix it up a little bit. And since you mentioned you haven't been here in a while, I wrote this weird news challenge a few weeks ago right around St. Patrick's Day. This is a St. Patrick's Day version of the weird news challenge. It's been sitting in queue for the last couple of weeks. You had a great maybe the next one will be about baseball since we got opening day coming next week. We can do some baseball.
Full disclosure, Tony, before we go on, I have an advantage because I'm 4% Irish, according to my ancestry DNA.
Yeah, I mean, it's
so
clear.
I'm only 3% Irish.
I just want to tell you, I have an advantage, so I just want to get that out
when
there.
When I see you walking down the hall, I think, there goes an Irishman.
Wow, here comes that Irishman.
There goes that Irishman.
Here comes that Irishman again. Oh, my gosh.
All right, so today playing the Weird News Challenge is, of course, Skip Weber. Chris Arps and producer Ryan Wiggins
That's
is back
Arps
in
you.
The game. Looking
Mick
for
Arps.
You
Mick
still
Arps.
Looking for your first win?
Yeah.
You've never okay. Yeah. Chris but Arps.
Mick
won.
Arps. Wait a minute. I'm gonna defend Ryan because
he doesn't play that often.
Yeah, we don't often let him play.
He doesn't play
we
that
often.
Often.
Have,
Very
you
good.
Know.
Thanks, guys.
All right. All of the questions are just 1 point answers.
Okay. Oh.
So
green.
Every single we have five questions, which is more than usual. Okay. But they're all just 1 point answers. We have a tie at the end. Of course, we will break it with the tie.
Okay.
Right. Katie Fitzpatrick rule not in effect.
Excellent.
Unless you guys want to put it in effect. All right. Test your buzzers. Ryan, your buzzer hasn't been used in a long time. How's it? It's rusty. Chris Arms, test your buzzer. Yes?
Always after me, Lucky Charms.
Oh.
You have to say the whole thing? Before the end of the word, if somebody else buzzes in.
I guarantee he's going to get excited and go, oh, Lucky Charms.
That'll still be the buzzer.
Now I got to have an Irish Spring one. Didn't they have a tagline, Irish Spring?
All right, so this is all St. Patrick's Day trivia since I wrote this a couple weeks ago and we haven't played since then. That's why. Weekend Report Weird News Challenge, episode number 34. Question number one. Green has not always been the color associated with St. Patrick and St. Patrick's Day. What was the first color associated with St. Patrick?
See, no matter how excited I get, my buzzer will sound more like my original than that one.
Whatever that one. Ryan Wiggins.
I don't know the answer to this question, but I'm going to guess white.
That is incorrect.
Always after me, Lucky Charms.
Yes, Skip Weber.
I'm going to go the two religious branches and instead of I'm going to go orange.
That is incorrect.
Ah. All right, red.
Got to buzz in. Yes,
Chris. I thought
Harps.
I
just like to hear your buzzer.
Red.
That is incorrect. Blue. The Order of St. Patrick, established in 1783, selected blue as its color because dark green was already taken. Green became popular with the 1798 Irish Rebellion.
Gotcha.
Okay. All right. Question number two. Although he made his mark by introducing Christianity to Ireland in the year 432, St. Patrick wasn't Irish himself. Chris Arps.
He's British.
That is correct.
Yes.
There we go.
Chris Arps is on the board.
Yeah, I read that.
This is Irish history.
Right. Yeah, see? Told you I got an advantage.
Learned that at the dinner table growing up.
With Mick Arps.
He's also 4% British. Yeah. That's why he knows that.
Actually, I think I'm 8.
Oh, well, there you go. Why, question number three, why is St. Patrick's Day celebrated on March 17th? Why is St. Patrick's Day celebrated on March 17th? Don't overthink it.
I am overthinking it.
Always have to be Lucky Charms. Always have to be Lucky Charms. Ding, 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 ding.
He I'm started to ding, thing. And then he always...
I'm just going to go out there
go
and
ahead.
Say that that's Patrick's birthday.
That is not the. It is not his birthday.
Okay, I'm going to do a classic game show stalling technique. Can you reread the question?
Will you
please?
Buzz in?
Oh,
okay. There you go. Why is St. Patrick's Day celebrated on March 17th?
Because it's 2 days after the Ides of March.
What?
I don't know. It sounded intelligent.
That certainly did.
No, it did not.
Because of Shakespeare or Julius Caesar?
Yes. That makes complete sense.
You want to take a shot? No, there's no points for getting anything wrong.
I'll say it was an Irish Independence Day.
St. Patrick died on March 17th.
The most obvious.
opposite of his birthday,
answer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Told you not to overthink.
I came closest. I said
all
both.
Right.
You guys, you know.
Get ready. Hands on buzzers. True or false? There are no female leprechauns. Ryan Wiggins.
False.
Always has to be Lucky Charms.
Yes.
True.
No! Picked wrong. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
There are no female leprechauns. Don't be fooled by any holiday decorations showing lady leprechauns and traditional Irish folk tales. There are no female
Have you ever seen a female in a Lucky Charms commercial?
No.
Right. Or a female leprechaun?
That's exactly.
All right, here we go. Last question.
I'm disappointed.
Last question. Right now, Chris and Skip are tied, so if one of them gets this, they'll win.
It's all over.
If Ryan gets it, it will go three-way tie to the tiebreaker. Question number five. The world's first St. Patrick's Day parade was not in Ireland. It happened
Always had to be Lucky Charms.
Yes.
Boston, Massachusetts.
That is correct. Oh! It happened in 1737 in what city? Boston, Massachusetts. Skip Weber is back on top, his 11th victory.
St. Patrick's Day expert.
There you go.
True and false question. In Boston.
Tiebreaker for the heck of it.
That's playing good. Kinda.
Tiebreaker for the heck of it. Doesn't mean anything. According to a 2017 survey by the website Wallet Hub, how many million pints of Guinness is consumed on St. Patrick's Day?
On St. Patrick's
Day
just
go
only.
Just go with a number. Don't
million
do 0.5
pints.
Or anything like
million
that.
Million pints. Okay. I'm going to say.
Yeah, how many million pints of Guinness are consumed on St. Patrick's Day?
14 million pints.
Okay.
100 million.
Okay.
30.
13 million.
That's it.
Skip. He would have won both showcases.
You know how much liquid is in 13 million pints?
You would have won both showcases.
One day and one narrow brand
but
of beer.
All around the world, though.
Yeah, but one narrow brand of beer, though. That's, you know.
You would have won both showcases.
I would have.
Because you were so close. You were so close. Yeah.
What do I get?
How are we doing? Yeah. Okay, good. We still have time. What? You don't get anything. You get You get to claim victory.
I get to put on my Irish crown.
You know the question that I was waiting for, Tony?
Mm-hmm. What's that?
I was waiting for you to ask, is it true or not that St. Patrick got rid of all the snakes in Ireland?
You wanted that to be a question?
Yeah, because that's a false thing that goes around, because there are no snakes in Ireland.
Because St. Patrick's got rid
of them. Yeah, he got rid of them. There were a ton before St. Patrick. Yeah.
And I heard there were never any snakes on there because it was it's an island. They don't have any way to get. They didn't have any way for snakes to get there. There's never been any snakes on Ireland.
You've never taken a snake on a plane?
Oh boy! Do you have any?
Ed, you got a curse when you say snakes on a plane. I got to say MF by every other word.
Do you have any requests for next week's Weird News Challenge? Should it be baseball related?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Should it be basketball related because of the tournament?
No, man, baseball.
You want baseball?
Baseball's opening day was this week, and then next week is home opener with all the fanfare.
So it's got to be baseball.
Oh, yeah. We got
perfectly.
Yeah, it'll be great.
All right.
What's Whitey Herzog's nickname?
We should get Trish Gazelle in there for this, for the baseball one.
Just a couple minutes left. I want to get one quick, serious conversation as we have Skip here. Real quick, new Missouri law would limit vehicle inspections to vehicles 10 years old or over 150,000 miles, not the standard two-year check-in. As a car dealer, somebody who makes vehicles, do you think that that's a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, first of all, I don't make vehicles.
Well, you know what I mean. You know what I mean. Yeah.
I think it's a pretty good thing.
Yeah?
You know, there's a couple sides of it. There'll be people that say, hey, you know what, those inspections finds problems in my car every year, and that if I wasn't for those, I wouldn't, you know, mm-hmm. I wouldn't find it. But the truth of the matter is, if you, any brand of automobile has a maintenance schedule that you should be following anyway,
yeah.
and that will yield the same thing.
Right.
So, look, we used to stop selling. We used to take in trade-ins and not sell if it was 80,000 miles or more, because it said after 80,000 miles it starts to break down. Way beyond that. We're going to 150,000 miles if it's nice, but we certainly have a lot of 110, 120, because they're still great.
Yeah.
The cars last so much longer. I'm talking about 25 years ago, but still, they last so much longer. They're really nice vehicles. I don't see any reason why, especially up to 100,000 miles, that you need to have that silly inspection.
It seems to be on the fast track, and it's just a money. I wouldn't be surprised.
And it's just a money grab.
Yeah,
to be honest with you.
The law
seems to be flying through the legislature, so I wouldn't be surprised.
I think people realize it's just, you know, a lot of inconvenience for
people. All right,
you
missed anything on the show today, go to radio.com app and download the podcast. It was really good stuff.
I got to go get a beer after this.
Don't forget about the videos throughout the week.
Why don't you go drink 25 million pints?
Stop talking. We got to go. For Chris Arp, Skip Weber, Ryan Wiggins, I'm Tony Colombo. Thanks for listening to The Weekend Report. We'll see you next week.